This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, the show that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are heroes around you, men and women who've done remarkable things for the sake of our freedom. Recording the stories of our veterans gives us the chance to hear those tales even after they're gone. And that's what we're doing today after the death of Dr. Stan Lindquist, who gave his eye and part of his leg for our country as a World War II medic in Europe. This interview was recorded 6 years ago when he was 90 and had just published a book of inspirational letters he had penned for fellow servicemen during the war. When we left off, he'd described volunteering to go into a minefield and rescue wounded soldiers, only to be blown into the air when a grouping of mines detonated. Dr. Stan lost his right eye. He couldn't see anything out of his left eye, had extensive damage to his lower body as well. So I asked him, did you think at that point that you would ever walk again, that you would ever see again? You had a wife and a baby boy back home. What in the world was going through your mind?
Well, I really didn't realize how badly injured I was. Because my legs didn't show an awful lot, you know. I mean, I didn't have any blown off like Herschel did. Mine just looked sort of normal. They looked a little bruised and misshapen, but as far as that was concerned, I had no idea. In fact, I was really afraid that I was going to get well and had to come back again.
Yeah. That would not be an issue for you.
It wasn't. But at any rate, so when we got to the field hospital, then they bandaged the one eye. Evidently, they put some stitches in my left eye. And the right eye, they said, well, it's impossible anyway. You may never see in that one. And they were right, because I never could see anything with that eye. So eventually they had to take it out. But so now I have a plastic eye, which functions so well that some people don't know me for years and don't even know I have a plastic eye.
Until you pop it out and wash it in your sink. Your son Brent tells a great story about that. And the first time he saw you cleaning it off in that manner. Not everybody's dad can perform that trick. And one of the things that really struck me when I was reading through all these Private Buck letters before you had them in book form, you actually wrote several additional installments, extra copies of that column ahead of time before you were injured, just in case you were injured. So they're publishing all of these. They've never revealed your real name. It's always just Private Buck. And then you're injured. And on March 20th, 1945, there's an entry with the headline, Private Buck Wounded. It has your picture there, and I'm going to read it. It says, Editor's note, every reader of this page will be saddened to hear that Private Buck, one of our Free Church boys who has been writing down his thoughts as he moved from camp to camp and overseas spot to overseas spot, has been wounded. To uncover his alias, Private Buck is Private Stanley E. Lindquist of the Kingsburg, California Free Church and son of Reverend E. H. Lindquist, superintendent of the Western District. Stan was wounded in Germany while attempting to rescue two of his buddies who had been hit by a mine. He was wounded himself, but together with his buddies managed to get the other fellows out. Right now he is in a hospital in England and, according to his latest letter, might lose his right eye and his right leg. But he is still cheerful and eager to serve the Lord. He has promised to keep on writing for you after he gets to feeling better. He had just completed a series before being wounded, so these will be running the next few issues. Pray for him, will you? And there's no doubt so many must have honored that request. They were praying for you, and these letters you'd written ahead of time are running while you recuperate. Then you start writing again after that. You end up touring the country, going to all these churches all over the place, trying to raise money for Gold Star Memorial Funds to honor those who gave their lives in the service during World War II. This sounds like a crazy whirlwind period in your life. And here you still have a family at home, too. What was your sense at that point in terms of what was in store for you? What did you think your future might hold at that point?
I really didn't know. I applied for admission to the University of Chicago Psychology Department in the graduate school, which was in the biological sciences, and I didn't know it then, but I was admitted. But later I found out that there were about 2,000 others that had applied, and 16 were accepted, and I was one of the 16. And that had to be God's intervention, because there was no way I could have gotten in there any other way.
Well, you did have quite a bit of experience at beating the odds already.
Yeah, that's true. So that I was just, you know, trying to get ready, and I wasn't really aware of what I was getting ready for. All I knew was that I couldn't go back to any of my old jobs. I was absolutely kind of devastated when I sat in a hospital one day and said, what am I going to be doing with my life? Because I can't walk much, and I can't do anything that I did before. I couldn't farm like I did a little bit. I couldn't teach. I couldn't be an inspector because you had to walk so much, and I couldn't do that. So I was really up against it, as many servicemen are even now. They say, where are we going to go? But I took advantage of taking an inventory of my life and what's been going on, and I realized that I had something that was irreplaceable, and that was God. And I felt He was guiding me and directing me. I didn't know how, but somehow He was.
Well, and you would eventually become part of the psychology faculty at Fresno State. At one point in the 1960s, you decided you're going to branch out and do something on your own, and out of your home initially, you started ministering to missionaries. You had been on the battlefield. They're out in this mission field, and you realized how vulnerable that they could be, that they go through a lot of things. Their faith is shaken at times. They can be in need of counseling and care for their mental health. At that point, I know you did not know what it would turn into. You had no idea the magnitude of it. But what was your original idea? Why did you think that this idea that really no one else was pursuing was your calling?
Well, I think that it came directly from them, because they asked for it. You know, they said, what can we do? How can we reorient our lives, because we have these problems? And of course, with my background that I was gradually learning in the field of psychology, I thought, you know, this is really what God's prepared me for, huh? Maybe that's it. So that after, oh, it was 7 years after I graduated and I moved to Fresno State. I was teaching at Trinity Evangelical Divinity School and this college at the same time. And the missionaries came to me there. And then when I left there and went to Fresno State, I started a part-time private practice after a while. I asked the president, you know, about that. He said, well, he said, you're allowed to do a certain amount of time, but you can't have it take over your life.
Little did he know.
You know, 10, 12 hours a week is about the limit. And so when the missionaries came, I thought, well, now maybe this is the area I should specialize in. And they really were the ones that pushed me into it. And I had no idea what was going to happen or how it was going to grow. And I have no idea that, you know, right now we've had over 8,000 family members and people in our program who have been living on our campus. Our campus, we have 104 apartments, and some of them are completely refurnished, so the missionary can come just with their suitcase and take care of themselves get the help they need.
Yes, the Link Care Center really is the gold standard in its field. It is the largest organization of its kind, providing counseling and support for missionaries and pastors who end up in Fresno from all over the globe. The Link Care Center provides community counseling, too, for anybody in the area. You don't have to be a pastor or a missionary. And all of this grew out of what you started in your house, just trying to help a few missionaries and encourage them. Obviously, you had no idea this would turn into what it is today.
No, I'm just, every time I drive down to the place, I think, what has God wrought? You know what?
Samuel F. B. Morse.
Yeah. Right. So, because obviously it couldn't be one person be able to do this, because unless God was in it, it wouldn't happen. And because He's in it, then it does happen. And so then I was able to get recruit some help from a lot of other folks gradually. It was hard at the beginning, because psychology was considered by some strong Christians as being sort of the work of the devil, because it's working with your mind or something. I'm not sure what they'd be thinking, but something like that. And there weren't too many people who, first of all, who had the qualifications that we needed, because we had to have proper degrees, PhD preferably, and master's degrees, and with the ability to get a license.
Mm-hmm.
Because getting a license was important to get the insurance, and most of the missionaries had insurance, and that's really what's keeping us going. Very few people are willing to contribute much to this. We think, you know, God should take care of them without having any man to get involved in it. So that's the attitude. It's expressed sometimes, but mostly it's not expressed. But at any rate, so that's really the most fantastic thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, it has had an impact on so many lives directly, and no doubt incrementally more indirectly. And none of this would have happened. Two more sons would have never been born, not to mention so many grandkids and great-grandkids, if you hadn't survived that minefield incident. And so much of that story is captured in the book, Letters from Private Buck. Now, in putting this in book form, you've added a few things that weren't in those columns that you wrote during the war. They add a little context to everything and share a little perspective that you developed over the years since. What are some of those extra things that we'll find in Letters from Private Buck?
One of the things that happens when you're writing from the front is that there's a censor that gets involved, and he takes out anything that might relate to what's going on, which is part of his job.
Sure.
So you couldn't say much about where you were. So now I went back, and first of all, I had to set up an introduction so we could set up the setting for the whole thing. And then I put on, in addition to that, some places where a little explanation seemed to be helpful to just carry the story along, as well as the article letters, so that gave me an opportunity to just fill out the details. And then the appendices, I have a couple of those, which tells both the experience that I had, which I've discussed briefly, as well as the final injury that ended the war for me, because those parts, of course, had to be written afterwards, and some of them have been updated, and you know, so that parts of it are relatively recent, but the most of it is, as you said, 60 years old.
And I'm sure that when you were blown up, in your words, in that German minefield, blown up into the air, losing your right eye, losing part of your leg, you didn't think you were going to see your 90th birthday, let alone be publishing a book at age 90. But here you are today. I do want to ask you, though, about those injuries. What are the lingering effects of what happened to you in the Hürtgen Forest all those years ago?
Well, of course, having only one eye changes my perspective totally, and I'll reach out for something and I'll be off it a little bit. Reaching for a glass, sometimes I'll hit the middle of it and knock the glass over instead of picking it up. That's one of the things. Then the other thing is, as far as my walking is concerned, of course, I'm somewhat unstable, and especially in walking longer distances, I get to a point I can't walk at all, and my legs hurt all the time, very badly. So that is the main thing that I have to compete with or deal with at the present time.
And with all that said, I have a feeling that I know what your answer is going to be. If I ask you, would you change anything that happened to you while you were serving our country?
Well, I don't think I can, and I won't. Because if I were doing it over again, maybe I'd be a little more enthusiastic about some aspect of it. That's always a possibility. But my wife used to say, don't you wish you could live your life over again? And I said, oh, my goodness, I'm not sure.
You're pretty thankful for the way it's all worked out, aren't you?
It worked out according to God's plan, maybe not all to mine, and went way beyond mine, my views or whatever. So that certainly is true, yes.
Well, I'm certainly thankful for the privilege of knowing you and seeing this latest chapter in your story unfold. We're getting short on time, but is there anything else about your service during World War II that you'd like us to know?
Well, one of the things I think that we all feel is that somehow we're very fortunate to live in a country like we do. And if we have anything that we can do to do something about it, well, that's something that we ought to do. And I sometimes think that our task has been overblown. You know, I get the feeling that, you know, so you have things the way you have them just because of what we did, but I'm not sure that I feel that way.
What a humble guy, huh? If you weigh the impact that Dr. Stan Lindquist had, it really is almost impossible to calculate because it crosses continents, it crosses generations. That's why CBMC Fresno recently started a Dr. Stan Lindquist Impact Award in his honor. The book we talked about today is available online, and I have that info on the Hometown Heroes Facebook page. If you're thinking it would make a good Christmas gift for a veteran or for anybody else in your life and you want to get the book in time for the holidays, you can call the Link Care Center at 559-439-5920. That's 559-439-5920. And speaking of the Link Care Center, not only does it offer counseling to missionaries and pastoral staff, one of the newer programs there is specifically for veterans, focusing especially on those who've just come home from deployments and would like to receive counseling from a Christian perspective. A scholarship program has been set up, so cost will never be an issue for veterans in need of counseling. Just another reflection of Dr. Stan Lindquist's legacy, and I know he was very proud of that latest addition to what Link Care does. We can look at his Purple Heart, we can read his book, and I hope you will, but the Link Care Center and the lives it's touched over nearly a half century now is the most powerful indication of just how special this World War II veteran was and what we'd all be missing out on if he hadn't survived all those years ago. I hope you've enjoyed this retrospective as much as I have. Next week, we're going to be back with a veteran who is still with us. Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.